When an embassy from a foreign ruler arrived at any one of these capital cities, it would have been a remarkable sight. We don't have descriptions of what the citizens of the city might have thought when a caravan filled with gold, silver, jewelry, perhaps a royal princess or two, arrived in the city and made its way up to the king's palace. But we can imagine that it would be something that would draw the attention of those living there, and that they too would realize how important their king was. And so the diplomatic letters that we see would have represented a wider audience of those who knew what was happening and knew their king's position and knew his relative status with his other rulers. The life of a diplomat or an ambassador or emissary was somewhat perilous. We read of diplomats who were robbed along the way. You can imagine a parade of donkeys carrying clothing or gold or any of the other exotic goods that kings required would be very attractive to those living along the way. So certainly we know that diplomats were robbed. Some were even killed. There was nothing like diplomatic immunity. Although when an embassy was attacked or somehow disrupted, the kings would write each other to complain about it. Nowhere do we have any instance of restitution for the goods that were lost. However, the king just had to send more goodies to his fellow ruler. The men who were involved in these embassies were not what we would consider true diplomats or ambassadors. They did not negotiate. They were much more similar to what we think of as messengers. They carried the tablets with the missive from the king. They did not negotiate on his behalf. And so they simply transported the goods and the letters between the different capitals. So they weren't skilled in any form of diplomatic negotiation that we might think of today. As we look at the Amarna archive, we see that it represents a very specific form of diplomatic negotiation that was effective only between kingdoms of relatively equal status. The Amarna tablets were discovered in the 1880s by Egyptian peasants who uncovered the trove. And without them, we would have no idea of what the kings really thought of each other, what their petty jealousies or what their concerns were. You know, we would never know that Burnaburiash had been ill and that he hadn't received a message from the king of Egypt. This may not seem to be an especially efficient or even effective form of international policy, but it did work well in an era of peace and prosperity. Gift exchange was necessary to maintain the system, and each treaty was a personal negotiation between rulers that had to be renewed with the accession of a new king. And these treaties had to be renewed and confirmed with gifts. The system of diplomatic exchange and negotiation between the states of the Near East lasted until about 1200 BC, when there was widespread disruption in the Near East that ended this period of peaceful interaction. We'll discuss the evidence for this massive recession in the next lecture, but one theory suggests that the quantity of goods exchanged between rulers, such as the half ton of gold sent as one part of a dowry in a royal marriage, could have weakened economies that felt other pressures, say from environmental changes or even invasion that might have disrupted the agricultural or trading economy. We will also begin to study the Assyrians, a state that represents the antithesis of what we have witnessed in the Amarna era. Assyrian expertise in battle created an empire that dominated the early first millennium. Any exotic gifts that arrived in the Assyrian palace were the result of tribute brought by subject rulers, rather than friendly exchanges between equals. Assyria at the time of the Amarna letters was just beginning to reach its position on the international stage. And we see that it's a recent arrival in one letter from Berna Buriash, our old friend from Babylon, to Akhenaten of Egypt. Berna Buriash complains that Akhenaten has begun to address the Assyrian king as brother, this sign of equal status. And Berna Buriash does not feel that the Assyrian deserves this. So we see from this last letter from the Amarna archives that we'll discuss that there's a rising threat in the north and that it is important enough for the Egyptian king to give the Assyrians equal status with the other Near Eastern states.